All right, welcome to the November Deer Springs Ranch board meeting. I appreciate everybody being here. I'm sure everybody has other things to be doing on a Saturday, but I'm glad you're here to participate, especially members that have joined us. We started our executive session with prayer, so we can skip that. But let's go ahead and identify everybody that's here for the record. Mariah, you let me know whenever you're ready.
Okay.
All right, those of you that are on the phone, would you please identify who you are and if you have a lot, what lot number it is?
This is Mike and Sue McNichols, lot number 270.
Don Ray, lot 63.
Brian Castle, lot 130.
Vance Green, 155 and 56.
Is that everybody on the phone? Can you guys hear us okay?
Yes,
I can.
Perfect. All right. Let's start right here with this old guy, and we'll also identify ourselves when Mariah gets it all in a minute.
Brent Fulmer, lot 117.
John Harris, 163.
Mariah Wheeler, 152. Kathy Pierce, 23 and 24.
Kurt Jacobson, lot 90.
Phil Hunt, caretaker.
Brad Hunt.
Larry Clarkson.
Jeff and Tina Collins, 141.
Okay, back out there in the gallery.
Tammy
Hunt, 149. Okay. Perfect. There's not anybody else hiding out there, is there?
Nope.
All right, perfect. Well, welcome. Let's turn time over to Kathy for the meeting minutes for our last meeting.
Everybody has had to review their minutes. There's one change I want to make. I just want to get it. When we were talking about cabin 7 and 8 and providing a proposal, said that I had not provided a proposal budget, as a proposal. I actually did, and so I brought both of them here, but I just wanted to put it in there that I had, provided them.
Yes, you provided. When I got it, I just lost it. So.
Oh, I just, because it said that I didn't, I didn't think I say that I provided it. So I just wanted to say that I did, and I've got them here. So I will give them. I don't know if you want to see them.
No. Well, I would like to see them after the meeting.
Okay.
And I'll make a copy.
So I'm just going to get these right here.
Okay, any other changes or adjustments to the meeting minutes from our last meeting? Seeing that there are none, can I get a motion?
Make a motion that we accept the minutes from the October meeting.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. The meeting minutes are adopted and accepted. Just as far as meeting minutes and for your information, in the annual meeting, the change to the CC&Rs or protective covenants, as you guys know, is approved. It's now been signed, and we're working on getting it recorded, so that will finalize that. Once it's recorded, we'll send a copy to the recorded document to Vance to be put on the website, but it probably will take us a little while longer because the legal descriptions for all the lots that are subject to the CC&Rs has changed since the original CC&Rs were recorded, and the recording requirements are a little bit different, so we've got to actually attach a legal description of every piece of property related to the ranch, so it will take me a few minutes. So that's why it'll take a little time before we have the new version recorded. All right, let's turn time over to Mr. Hunt on the treasurer report.
I'm going to announce that we've had a change in the treasurer position. Our new treasurer is Joe Jose, who has been our old treasurer, and I'm just going to pass to Mariah to go ahead and give us our information for the treasurer's report.
Okay. So
So for currently of interest, you, the board will say any of you have an attachment to your agenda is the P&L for the month. As we're winding down, just a reminder, and I brought a bright, shiny little reminder for everyone that, yes, please, that all spending, invoice turn-ins, all of that needs to be done by December 15th. And I'll pass those up as we're getting closer. It's time to wrap up spending. If you'll take a look at the bottom of your P&L, I have made the categories a little bit smaller because by this time of year, it's 6 pages long. So if you would like to have any detailed information on a category, I haven't sub-categorized for you. I'm happy to provide that. But at the very back of your P&L, the very last page on page 3, you'll note that according to the P&L, we have about $8,600 left of budget money to be spent. The important thing to note is currently, as I've been tracking and people have been giving me, we've got this to do, we've got this to do, these expenses, I find that we have $26,000 left to spend that's already earmarked. If we add all of those together, give me just one moment to pull up my report. Essentially, what we have with all of that earmarked expenditure is $350 left in the budget for this year. So that being said, categories you do, there are some categories that are in the green and still have some budget money to be spent. Please just spend very, very frugally. We can use the money that hasn't been spent in other categories to give to other people who might be needing it. $340 is not a lot of money at this point to be working with, so that would be my words of caution. One other item that I have, I prepared, and board, I sent this out to you ahead of time, these budget request forms. I thought it would help us be more efficient this year. I've broken them down. You'll get a sample copy so you can kind of understand what the thought is behind this, and then you'll receive your own blank copy, maybe with some notations if there was, like, for example, with Kathy and Joe will receive one that notes that propane you've got to plan on this much every year and repair maintenance. This is how much we allocate every year. So I've tried to be helpful with this. So I'll give these to you. The hope is that you'll take a moment, take a look at them, and give me what your minimum need for each of your categories. If you would like me to consult with you to tell you what we've done in the past so you can make a better judgment, I'm totally open and willing to do that. So I'll pass these around for you to look at again after the meeting or whenever. If you have any questions, let me know. This will be efficient.
And we all need to note that our next meeting is dedicated to figuring out the budget, so we have the budget for next year ready to go by the end of the year. And so we need to have your submissions and suggestions, because the next meeting won't end until we have a best budget.
That'll be the first budget I ever got before January in my life.
No, we need to have it done and hammered out so that January 1st we're ready to go and we know what we're doing.
Okay. Also, board, there are some general budget items. I'm going to pass these to Barry as president, and you guys can decide how you want to do them. One of the things, one of the separate categories is payroll, office supplies, ramp utilities, insurance. All of these are broken down under this big package. So if you want to make any adjustments there, great. If not, we can go as we go. Other than that, we're welcoming a few members, new members to the ranch. Let me pull that information up really quick. Okay. Some of the new members that we have would be Dean Rower, Lot 178. And Mitchell and Michelle Allen, we welcome them, Lot 162, Tom Mead, Lot 96, and Jerome and Christina Logan, Lot 51. And that would be my report, unless there's any questions I can answer.
Any questions, any budget questions as far as where we're at now, or any questions on what you need to do between now and the next meeting?
I do have a question. I'm here to put down here as far as what budget this tab is. This would be for Jill and I both. You did a breakdown on the propane and regular maintenance. Is there a way to specify the usage of each cabin, or is that just put your allowance?
That's been our allowance. There is not a way to track per cabin other than how many gallons they fill up each time. So far this year, we haven't received a fill-up. In years past, With AmeriGas, we have them do it two times a year, once in the spring to get us through, and then if we needed an additional at the end of the year, we'd have just a little picking up. Right now, I haven't received a propane bill, period.
Okay.
I'm nervous about what's
going on. Does every cabin have its own propane tank?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, but no,
but
no meter, and sometimes the tank will last a year or two. Don't know
that.
Good question.
We put out a, it's been a couple, 3 years ago, we found meters. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, we actually have a meter that we purchased and we never used. It's sitting in the storeroom somewhere. Yeah, good luck. Anyway, there, it'd be pretty spendy to buy good enough meters for every cabin. I don't know why. Now, when Darkane comes out, can they just
put
how much they put in each cabin?
Yeah,
well, they
do. I know that.
You should be getting a bill. I guess my question is, we can do some good census and figure out how much.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but not for use.
Well,
even if it's for use, but for cabin.
Well, yeah, per cabin, obviously we can track how much, but I thought you were asking about how much each person uses.
Even, but if we can do it per cabin, that's possible. Yeah, let me know that. Give me a few days and we'll get the bill, and then I'll tell you the
breakdown. Any other questions on budget? All right. We've collected everything's collected as far as.
The long-standing past due accounts, they've all been collected. We do still have a few members who have not paid this year, but the long-standing ones, they're all caught up.
Good.
Yep. Thanks to Clarkson.
All right. Well, let's turn some time. Oh, anything else in your office report or is that?
No, that's all I have at this time.
Okay. Phil Hunt. Turn the time over to you to update us on what's going on at the ranch.
There's a couple of things that are concerning me a little bit. Just noticed the second thing, I go into the tool room and where the oil is, and I lock those doors and I shut them. I entered there, there's a garbage can sitting in there, there's a bunch of stuff in it that I never put in it. The cabinet's open and half our oil is missing, gone. There's needed action. So I would propose that a log sheet be put in there. Maybe they take something out of there when it's logged. Like, you know, it's a little disconcerting to me. Also, the fuel, I changed the lock, the code, and you all know what it is. But the very next day, at 7:30 in the morning, I went over there, and sure enough, there it was, dialed to the 1776.
They tried it again,
and there was a tire track. I took a picture of the tire track. I took a picture of these things. We need a game cam out there to see what's going on in our backyard. And so people know I'm sleeping or I'm not working, because it's on the board. Okay, he's out in the South Fort. I think I'll go into the tour and see what I can cut.
Promotion that you call the sheriff and tell him what our experiences are up there.
Okay.
Let them know that somebody went up on Brad Clark and took the taxi out of there.
It's not just one spot, there's something that's going on, there's definitely something going on, so we'll probably do, so please everybody be on the alert if you see anything suspicious out there, let's check on people that we don't know, parts that are driving on our ranch, we have a right to talk to folks who are on our ranch, and Chris North's been working up there, Chris North, yes, but he's been riding in and out with me.
Okay.
So there's ways that this stuff could make sense why that oil's gone, because back when the police were doing our road work, they came and they took two drums of hydraulic fluid to go use, and John told me about it after, which we replaced. But I just need to know who's taking what, and...
I think the
lock
book would be a really good idea. We need to do that
So that just goes right into the thing, and they can write, because the gas, the fuel has a lock book. All the tanks have a logbook, have meters, we can count the gas and the fuel that is listed under 10 minutes.
Yep, so go ahead and get it.
Okay. While we're speaking about fuel, we're low. We're very low. And that concerns me, but that'll you know. That's fine. Yeah.
Where are we at on order?
Thank you. I thought we approved. And
you did. We were just waiting for a report on how much we needed.
We can determine that tomorrow or today or any back to ranch.
Easy peasy. I mean, we were 1,200 gallons in the gasoline tank, and we were at about 300 and
about a quarter of something in the diesel tank.
Yeah. Right, and that, but that was at least a couple months ago now,
and we're against the elevated tank.
Right.
We probably should put some in that L tank for you running that traffic.
We need fuel. We need it now. I was talking to Larry about, you know, should we get a mix of road fuel and red fuel so it'll last. And Larry and I talked about, we're thinking just put some stabilizer in and call it good.
So we've done it here before, right?
Okay.
That's all we've done before, is just put stabilizer in, right?
We haven't even put stabilizer in it because we use it up at a fast enough rate, but it wouldn't hurt to put stabilizer in.
So who's going to get us a calculation of what we need to order so that it can be done in the next few days?
I will dip the tank. I will dip the tank. If I get home early enough tonight, I'll dip tonight. If not, I'll do it in the morning. I'll do the consensus. I'll have it tomorrow.
Okay. Perfect. Let's get that order. I apologize. I thought that was done.
Yeah. I think prices have gone up now, so it'll be a little bit more money than we anticipated.
Well, we got to have enough to get through till March.
So the grader tire that's on is working great. It's working great except it's on backwards. I didn't install it.
I wasn't gonna
help
you, but
yeah. Okay. It's just being that thing is so. It takes about an hour to take off. We'll switch it. We'll switch it around.
Okay, sorry. I thought I did good.
You didn't get in the tire.
Okay, well, moving right along on that one. hang on one second. Yes?
I would just tell you that we bought a lot of fuel, and January and early February is the cheapest times of the year. And on the farm in Idaho, we always fill up that time. So if you need just a little, maybe get this a little, but right now red diesel is almost a dollar more than it was when we filled up last February. Almost a dollar a gallon.
Well, our problem is delivery.
Yeah, we have to get a pretty good load to get them to bring it out. So
and February should be mud season.
I think get us enough to get through maybe late in February instead of March, and then we redo it, we look at it again. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
As the proposal went, we had those four items that we needed to get done. We got three of them knocked off and working on the other one.
Remind us for those of us that weren't in what they were.
One thing. Well, they were, in the proposal, we proposed to cut and split firewood, insulate, and mount street cabin 7. The insulation was prior done. Thank you. That was awesome. We did that. Went ahead and we did the insulate, you know, the mount street cabin 7. That's done. We go the roof over the generator. So there was an old roof that we temporarily put on, and we took all that off. We painted like trucks. We put new boards across there that I got from Dale Clarkson for free. Took down some old fencing around his place, and he gave me like 70 of them. Hold on, he's making a little plastic back there. We figured we could use those two by this place sometime, which we did. So that was all three lumber used to the generator, the shed roof. Went ahead and we skinned the top of it, and that looks really good. I enclosed it so no cows can roll up and around it. So that's done. Mount scraping's done, and everything's sinking close. I mean, part of the fencing project, there's certain stipulations that they're wanting. They're wanting these posts to be 4 inches across the top and 48 inches. There's three steps to do to find posts that way. So I've been going through and cutting them, got 6 posts so far.
I've got two holes dug. I've got the fence line completely torn off up to a point and the wire rolled up. And fence post pulled, except the little Kubota tractor doesn't have enough juice to about tip her over twice and I can pull the fence post out. So I got to take the, when you guys are done with the backhoe, I'll take it down and start popping posts.
It's done.
Okay. So I'll come up. I just didn't want to take you. You guys were all still using
it. To clarify, the fence that he's talking about is when we get our water
protection zone.
Protection zone.
The one thing that we took is we did not have 100 feet of fence around our well field area, and so we're trying to get the 100 feet fenced off there, and then we wouldn't even have a ding then, right?
So there's four dings.
But I'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
But yes, that was the only one that really made a whole lot of difference.
Yeah. That's what we're working on right now, getting that 100 radius around the well head. And we'll go ahead and fence off the hose thicket, you know,
for the generator.
And the generator with it is their own fence. And I've got, you know, poke cut, I'm digging holes right now, water in the holes, because this ground is so hard.
Spring dry.
And so it's gonna be a little while to dig those holes, but once they're done, it'll go quick. That's the last on the project we are working on, but it's not done.
Do we have access to or somebody that we can borrow post hole digger that goes on the Kubota?
We have one.
We have one.
And it won't work?
No.
Dig it about a foot and then just smash it back down. So then you fill the hole with water and then come back later and you can dig it down another foot. I mean,
there's this logo.
Hard ground.
Meeting with the pry bar was for about an hour. It's about the same thing as I did with the bucket of water. And did something else and came back and hit a post hole digger again. So why waste the money?
Okay.
There's lots of projects that we did or helped with during this whole time, and, you know, we don't need to mention, like, probably in love with my, you know, each time you guys have me, I tell you every night what I do. There was a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. The toilet in garden cabin that just continually kept getting flooded, and I had to pull it three times and pull it and put it in the box. They did it probably for you guys, probably do it all the time, but I have better things I can be doing than pull up toilets and worry about it. But
does the drain need to be snaked or something?
No. We went through and me and Brent and Rachel completely snaked that whole system all the way into the septic tank, which when we found out we needed a new septic tank, it was on.
Toilet itself looks good.
It's through that thing.
So we're going to pay a new toilet.
I think at this point that toilet has been replaced.
It's a done deal.
Okay.
Just so you know, some toilet designs are very problematic. You can get a crappy toilet. It'll plug up with a 100-pound plug. Hopefully the one you put in.
We go cheap. We've been cleared to winterize the garden cabin.
Yes.
And the cover stop.
Yes.
Start that on Monday. Our temperature's going to hit on Wednesday in the snow. So that is going to be closed at home.
We hope
we're going to get some moisture. So.
Were you able to move that bridge from 2 to 8?
I wasn't aware.
Oh, it's an email.
I didn't get
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, we need to
what's that? From 2 to 8?
From 2 to 8.
Okay, yeah, we can do that.
Are we? There, I saw
on your updated list that you said.
No, I didn't know if it said them.
I never got that
message. There was some there.
I saw a message from Brent about not moving. Did you have any luck with your fridge guy?
Well, no, he hasn't come out yet. What I want to do is leave the non-operational fridge and cabinet until Dustin comes out. Then I need to, we want to adjust that the regulator up to where it will give us 13 inches of water column and then try relighting that fridge. Okay? But if that doesn't work, there's no sense in that brand new fridge sitting in cabin 2 all winter. We could move it down, at the ready, so when after dusting comes, if that isn't a pressure issue, we need to go get it if it's going to snow, just in case we can't get out there.
So, Phil.
Yes.
Go get the cap. Go get the fridge out of cabin two, and bring it down. Where do you want it? Where do you want him to put it?
Well, for right now, just bring it down. We'll stick it in the carport until Dustin gets out there.
Okay. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't mean to interrupt your snooze there for a second. Well, hopefully it is a pressure issue. It's just weird that all of a sudden all of the fridges started having a problem when we switched. So, that's weird.
Does the new fridge that we bought have any problems?
Well, yeah, but... There was one time I had to light it three times, but it's working down there. I think that was the very first initial.
We're not having problems with the new fridges, but that's not a good measurement. We got to measure it from our old fridges, which never. I mean, like we used to replace one fridge a year, on average. Two on an incredibly bad year, and now we got five fridges sitting down there, you know, on the disabled list.
It may take a little bit of time for the new fridges to fail.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's the same problem, but they're new enough that they're clean enough and. They're getting by, but they're declining, and so the garden cabin fridge shuts off by itself.
Okay.
I had to restart it like 6 times.
Okay, and I'm, once again, because Kathy had the problem with 1 and 7, I think we're dealing with the pressure issue. Because, you know, Vance looked it up, and those consoles, and I'm assuming it's almost every propane fridge, needs anywhere between 11.8 and 13 inches of water column to operate. All of the Garkane regulators are set at 11.5 inches of water column, which is the industry standard. And so that's why we're thinking we upped it to 13, because even at the lower end, the upper end, the upper cabins are going to definitely need to be at 13. The lower cabins are going to need to be anywhere between 11.8 and 13. We're just talking about doing everything at 13. And but that's the reason if the fridge in the garden cabin keeps going out, once again, I think it comes right back to that pressure issue.
So we have an altitude problem up there for a standard, right?
Right.
Right, a standard one is probably sea level.
Yeah. Garkane, when I was talking to Dustin, they set them at roughly a 4,500 foot elevation kind of thing. And, of course, we're 2,000 feet higher than that, at minimum.
Okay, go ahead.
Turning cabins and doing laundry and that kind of thing, we winterized our washer and dryer, actually, our washer, because it's too cold this reason. And so I'll go down to the laundry mat, it's just so easy to just do it and be done and bag it. But I could bring that wet laundry and not have to spend that extra $5. But... why?
Well, not to mention you're hauling wet laundry that's going to get all dirty again.
Yeah.
So just,
yeah. I just do it again, and I just do it down there for fun. And if you're running a car wash, it over there now because I'm there. So that will save on washing the truck. Rush Ogden is spraying herbicide. Obviously, we're waiting for that mercury. And let's talk about this heading to...
Did we get herbicide?
With his license and supply, it's not an issue.
Okay. I'm already here for this. Okay, go ahead.
Heading to animals by the end of the week will be zero.
What do you have left?
I have about 6 rabbits. They're really delicious with salt and pepper. Okay. And I got
a little black pepper.
Yeah, a little clove. I've got the old chickens that don't produce anymore, so we're just going to kill them. Might beat them.
And, I mean, that's unless somebody wants it. And then we've got four or five chickens left. We've got a racial spill left there. And that's going to be that encounter. We'll just take it.
Okay. So at the end of the week, we're done with petting zoo animals.
We are.
Peacock. And what about the cat?
Yeah, there's the peacocks and the cat. You want to get rid of all that stuff? The cats are going to be hard to be cat. How many peacocks do we have left?
We have two hens and three males.
I think you should get rid of at least a pair. But you can sell a pair and get rid of a pair. What do you guys think? They want to keep the peacocks?
We've only brought them down here 1 year to Phil's place, to Phil Hall's place. It was huge pain. One of them died on the way or something. Anyway,
they're hard to catch.
They're hard to catch. So my guess is they're gonna end up staying up there until they don't stay up there anymore.
Yeah.
But they're reproducing because we're gonna used to have two hens, so now we have two hens and three cubs. So do we want
to keep the cubs at the ranch? What's your feeling, people?
They're nice or they're messy?
But they kill rattlesnakes.
But they kill rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's horrible when you're sitting down enjoying your dinner on the porch and a peacock comes up there and you land a poop right on your leg next to your chin. I forget. And that happens.
Not for Lillian.
I think
based on the difficulty in catching that kind of stuff, I think we leave them for now, but I don't think we replace them as they disappear.
Okay. If you catch them and you can disappear, go. I've got a quiet bear.
If you can catch them and sell them or give them away, then that's great.
Or whatever, but don't spend time on it. So my bank is doing great. Doctor, you're surprised. In fact, I only got a couple more weeks left of physical therapy and I'm done.
Okay.
So you go to therapy twice a week? I'm down to once now. And we're going to move it. Just move it to Canada now.
Okay.
And I have a doctor's appointment on the 21st, as soon as he can get it. I'm trying to get it before the board meeting, Mr. Fitzgerald. So I've got another doctor's appointment on the 21st, getting a clear bill of health. Any questions?
What are your moving forward between now and our next meeting? What are the projects that you're going to be able to complete?
Well, we're hoping to get well. We're going to get this well completely fenced off. We're still cutting firewood. I cut firewood during the day, and I split it at night. And it's not like I light on it. Just sit there and fill the truck full. And go stack it. We stack quite a bit up at Cabin 7. They go through it quite a bit because it's cold. So we'll just keep trying to fill that shed. If there's a lot of insulation and stuff in there, Bob, just have a second dairy place that we can put firewood that don't have to come in and get it.
Well, one of your task list, we need to move that insulation that's in the shed down to the barn.
Very chance that we can get it installed on top of it.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I was looking at.
That's why we moved it out there.
If we don't have any other job that can finish that other fence job, or if you want to take a break from that and go up and install for a while or whatever.
Where's the insulation to go under?
That's a two-man job. Scott and I knocked out Cabin 7 in about 3 hours. It's good to have a team and not just one guy crawling in and out. And then a lot of the insulation in Cabin 7 was fine. We just replaced where we needed to replace, and then we put the plastic.
And the stuff that's part
of the wall. So
I'll make an effort to install it before we. Okay. Has everything been done under 8 that needs to be done prior to installation? So it's ready to...
Well, we don't know if there's any plumbing that's going to be changed depending on what they do for Cabin 8.
But if there's plumbing that needs to be done, there's a small area.
Yeah, there could be that.
I'd say for the winter, get it insulated.
Yeah, I think so.
So that you're not going to have freeze-ups.
Right now, Cabin 7 and Cabin 8 are not exactly alike. Cabin 7 is only about a 2-foot clearance underneath that cabin.
What about 8?
8 bigger than that. I could crawl around my hands and knees and crawl underneath there.
Not
8. That was 7.
Between the
7 and 8. 7 is bigger than 8. 8 smaller. 8 about
from the top of the deck down to the ground is about that far, maybe 18 inches.
So it's belly crawl?
It's a belly crawl deal. And then it's, once you get to the edge of it, it's right on in the ground. So as far as, you just have to crawl up as far as you can and tuck it. I'm not sure how you're going to, we'll just do the best we can, and that's all we're going
to do. Well, we pre-rolled the plastic, and it rolled out in a way that, as we were stapling it, unfolded. I mean, it's not sure perfect, but it worked.
It looked good.
Yeah.
I looked at it, it was great.
Yeah, it wasn't, I didn't realize that last row that we got to, we were reaching up because there was no way we were going to get to even a 7 or just even lower an 8.
And we have pipe mufflers that we can go ahead and line all the pipes where we're right there, and that extra insulation. But I don't see there's a problem to go ahead and start digging around.
We
need to get going.
Yeah, we can't do the extra stuff until we get the
service. So who else has something that needs to go on Phil's task list? I mean, obviously we can update through email and that kind of stuff, but anything else that we know we need to get done? The roof on the roof on the generator.
As soon as we get the roof right, I can keep it busy every lighted hour.
Yeah, I'm just working. I got nothing else to do.
Check
that wood and take a hard look at that and see what you can do.
Yeah, we can help them off.
All right, anything, any questions or concerns or any comments related to Phil as far as the current condition of the ranch? Okay. We're going to skip from 6 to 8 and then we'll go back to 7, and that's any feedback from members or board members on the job as far as what Phil's been able to do? I know there's been some questions as far as hours and some of those kind of things. Any concerns or anything that, by the way, we're trying, for those of you members that are here, we're trying to have more discussions in open board meetings so everybody can have input rather than having some of these discussions that we used to have in the executive session, because we want your input on what you think and where you're at. So any thoughts, any comments?
I have a question on hours. I've noticed that sometimes we get a 12-hour day and then followed up by two hours. One is an overtime. Could that have been stress? I don't understand why it works out that way. Let me clarify
the overtime issue, because I've had
people asking that. So overtime is anything 40 hours or more in a week.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah. So a lot of people work 4 10-hour days. You can do pretty much whatever you want in that. So a big day followed by a small day is not a concern as far as that goes.
I emailed you my concerns on that. I
didn't know what the laws were here on that. Well, as the way I've run all my businesses is anything over 80 hours in 2 weeks, but I have been corrected. It's 40 hours, and then you pay overtime. Don't tell anybody that works for me that.
And it's your definition of a week, you know, what day you start.
Yeah, you can pick, but any consecutive 7-day period is starting on whatever. But anyway.
But to answer your question, what I did on it. If I worked a harder day, the next day my leg is 8. But I didn't work as much. I took a break.
I can see that.
And then the next day, when I was feeling better, then I would take dirt and then take a break.
My only concern was that I wasn't sure what the law was here. Was it overtime after 40 hours?
Yeah.
Or was overtime anything over 8 hours?
It's
an individual day here.
I've been put over Phil for the last 30 days, and so I've pretty much been guiding him and directing him. And the philosophy that I've used is simply, I don't care what hours you work, I just care that you get the job done, but you have to report your hours. That you can work overtime up to 10 hours a week, which would keep us under our budget of money that we budgeted to pay our caretakers for that period of time. And so as long as we're we're under a budget and you're getting all the jobs done, and you want to, you decide how you work or whatever, and that's been his work orders from me, just so everyone knows.
And I think some things that need to get done have gotten done. The question is okay, here, moving, and we want to talk about if you have any concerns there, but also if there are things that need to be done in the near future. Just, I guess, right now is as good a time as any. We obviously are restructuring or looking at changing the things as far as the caretaker slash ranch manager slash management company goes. We've gotten proposals from 5 or 6 applicants so far. We ask for everybody's patience because we're going to change over and look at doing this more on the basis of an independent contractor rather than as an employee, and it's going to take us a little time to adjust and figure out what we're going to require. We will then post or share with everybody, here's the job, here's the description, here's what you're going to have to do, and then ask people to submit, basically saying, I'm still interested, and this is what I'm willing to do it for. So be patient with us as we figure some of those things out. In the meantime, then obviously you have Phil on an hourly basis to take care of urgent needs that need to be taken care of, and so that's why we're having this discussion. Any questions about that?
The only suggestion I have on that is whatever you do, don't make the changeover right in April when everything starts up.
That's exactly what we had planned. We figured we had Brent to take care of getting everything.
I've trained 10 or 12 or more people, and every time you try to do it right in April when everything's starting up, it is, and Bill's gone through it, he understands, it's an enormous job.
We're trying to get it done in December.
Okay, all right. Well, my concern is that if you try doing it in that April, May, and then you run into problems, it's just like.
If we have time, I'd like to maybe, if you're through with the backhoe, just to pull some trenches into that big erosion pit in the back, and then maybe put some of those rocks.
I just moved my dozer down to the pit to kind of help our rock crushing process go, and I thought I would take it down there and push that in some.
That is it.
In fact, coming across from Colorado City, I saw they had built this big culvert with another small culvert welded to it, and as I looked at it, I thought, hey, what if we took something like that and buried it in the bottom so that the top inlet's going to drop and it's inside the culvert and come out, and so we might have to fabricate a little drop box.
That would be a good idea.
Okay, let me ask a couple questions. Next reservations for Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. What are your plans for Thanksgiving?
At
the ranch. Okay, you'll be there. So I think we go ahead. I will send you anything that I have as far as list of tasks that I would like to see done. In the meantime, anybody else, but try to keep your list as clear as possible and share them with everybody so we're not duplicating. So, Kurt, Kathy, if you have something, make sure to share it with all and say, Phil, I need you to do this, and then obviously I have to go through. But I notice sometimes then if something's sent to you, then if you're copied on it or if I'm copied on it, then you can assume we know about it.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay?
All right. Thanks.
Do you do a check on the cabins before people arrive?
Yeah. Okay. I do now. You know, this Rachel used to do all this. I used to do this other stuff. Now I'm doing it, and I can see, you know, like, for instance, Ms. Connelly came up into the cabins, and she checked in at 11 o'clock at night, and I had no problem. I got up, I went up, I checked her, I showed her how her life alive. I got her fire going. Are you good? She said, yes. Have you heard where the wood is? I brought you some more wood underneath this bench. And, you know, I just try to do what I could do, you know. And so, with the people before that, I was the two times before that, because we had prior to that, another person ran it and left the door open upstairs, you know, the slider, and the peacock got in there. Now,
I claim that the best I took the places I've seen. Then where I realized, because I took some pictures, I went back and where Tanya said she's seen some poop was under a chair, that I didn't move the chair. My bad. I should have moved the chair. I did go back up there and moved it. She also complained about a gas smell on an upstairs lie. And I said, hey, you know, can I help you with that? And she goes, no, let's do it tomorrow. And she just ended up pushing it back. But we did replace them. There's brand new lights up there now. Over the kitchen sink.
So do you do go up and check the cabinets before?
Yeah, now I do. I take pictures of everything prior. And
should that be done as you go up and you clean the cabinet, prep everything, do everything that's already been checked out, so to speak, one time instead of having to do it twice?
Yeah, when I do that with the turn. So I'll go up there and I'll take all my stuff and clean the cabin and take my pictures.
Yeah, I think he's only going one time.
Oh, okay. All right. Now.
Okay, any other questions?
I had a question and concern, and I think I figured it all out. I was a little questioning. It seemed like there was a lot of time spent watering cabins. And I didn't realize that that's part of our lease agreement with Doug.
Unfortunately, yes. I couldn't talk him out of that. I tried it.
You can't. Turns out you can't lease property without water to Calvary.
Well, and this year is a super bad year because there's just no water.
Typically, what has never happened is typically a lot of ponds full of water right now. Yeah. We haven't had rain in over like 140 something days. There was no monsoon precipitation.
And as we move forward and restructure things, that may be one thing that we find somebody to do on a separate basis rather than having a caretaker.
Well, part of our ag program is to put in some permanent water tanks, too, so that we don't depend on the pond.
Are you mostly hauling out to Deer Springs Point?
I was. Before I left. I mean, that was my job, 3-4 hours.
Where are you hauling to recently?
Just out by the road, but now we're not hauling.
Right on the county road with your bike.
Just as you have to be on all that.
Okay.
that was getting empty pretty fast, and so I went down to the point, grabbed another 1,000-gallon tank, brought it out, filled both of those up, problems solved.
When's the last time you hauled water?
A long time, probably a couple weeks.
Okay. Well, it's unfortunately something we have responsibility to take care of, but we just need to figure out the way to.
Remember, speaking of strange going on with the ranch, I'm pointing to you, Phil. Because we've had issues with fuel, we've had issues with somebody in there taking oil or whatever. Somebody was hauling water from the lower ranch up Meadow Canyon. Do anybody know of anybody hauling? You haven't hauled any water.
I've hauled them. This week?
Well, it was last week and the week before. I assumed it was cow water, but when...
I did see somebody go on there. It was a pretty good sized tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mine's just a little tank. But this, I saw somebody going up a pretty good sized tank.
Okay. Well, I don't know if the Heatons are still hauling. But when they...
Where would they be hauling to?
Well, when they have their...
They get all wet up in the forest?
Right. Well,
okay.
Just so you know, and because I have the same thing. I come driving up and I see this water going up the road, and I'm going. And so, I've got things to do, but I also have a very curious. So I follow. So one day I follow this thing all the way up into the forest, and they have one of their water hauling tanks leaks like a sieve. And just left the line the whole way. It's like somebody leaving a trail of breadcrumbs.
Well, that may have been I assumed it was water, but when it didn't go on out toward District Point and went up Meadow Canyon,
yeah, that guy looked like he was going.
And I thought, well, it's one of the members here, they're everywhere, but it didn't turn anywhere and it kept on going. I was going into Crawford, and so I thought, well, maybe John, but
no. I'm the guy that told that, but he's that guy that's that horse guy, isn't he?
Right, right.
Yeah, so I cornered him one time about taking the water. It turns out that he had permission and has been doing it for years.
Yeah. Well, but that's who I mean, I don't know if they're still doing it, but if you've seen it lately, that's classic them.
So is there not a lock on the system anymore then?
What is the rules on water?
Right.
Yeah. The rules on water are nobody gets any unless you're a member and you pay a water hauling fee and you get the combination lock. It's what it's supposed to be.
The lock is that.
And the reason being is not necessarily to be stingy neighbors or be a pain in the butt. It's just we don't know what the condition of the water is, and they don't know. And bottom line is we don't want to be responsible for what may happen if we've got contamination. And quite honestly, we pay for it. We pay for that to be pumped. And if they want it, they need to come talk to us and pay something.
Just general knowledge to know if we're not sure where our tank level is, and it happens to be low, and somebody hauls 500 gallons or 1,000 gallons and drops the tank below, you know, we had a problem with killing the rock water.
Yeah.
Having to reset up air blocks and problems. So, you know, because I went down yesterday or the day before to haul water because we're making so much dust. So I wanted to set up a little water trailer, but it takes forever. That hose is low. I don't know if it's just because
you're done.
Well, one of the projects we need to do this next year is we need to increase the size and redo that water filling thing.
Health department approved water hauling stations for drinking water, but we also should create a couple of pickup points for fire, for water haul, you know, something that we can dump 1,000 gallons in 10 minutes type thing. And I actually kind of started to get one hooked up yesterday through the tank drain in the old fire tank, reconnected the line going up to the road.
Out by the gravel pit.
Yeah. I was standing there yesterday and you drove right by me and just
actually, I had two hands
before. Your wife went by, me and Christian Church were standing there, and your wife went by, and he said, she didn't even see us. And I was waving at her, and then you went by, and I had my back to you, and I knew it was you, and he said, he didn't even see us either.
I was looking, actually, at all your stuff. I was looking to the left over there. I see that. The stuff that you had over there, I noticed you cleared out a place over there. What are you doing, setting up a plant over there? Hey, let's.
So Larry, don't feel bad. My daughter and I have flat tires.
Go right by you.
All right, so let's move along on a couple of things. We got lunch coming here in a few minutes. Yeah.
Two questions. There's not a question there, statements. What are we doing on the solar batteries?
Solar batteries are on their way. That's all I can tell you.
And then number two is when I leave the ranch, I lock the laundry, I lock the tool shed, I lock everything that can be locked with padlock, of course, including all the storage containers with padlock.
Good.
So.
And that lock is with the combinations, the one you gave us?
That's just the gas. Okay. That's just fuel. Water and fuel have their own combinations, which we're going to change. We were just talking about it a little while ago that we're going to change those locks too to separate because when Paul and Nancy were here, that was the same combination. Well, I mean, the managers have known that same deal. So we're going to change them all as soon as we get back.
I think we need to lock up whatever we can. The combinations need to be in the hands of those people who need them, and I don't. I don't necessarily want to send out an email even to the board of the combination for the gas because I don't need to know it. And most of the people in this room don't need to know.
I don't think
I know it's a little bit of a pain, but I don't want Theo walking off.
Combination, we can find that person and, you know, get some accountability on it.
I noticed in the linen closet this morning when I went in there early a.m. the whole top shelf, half of the top shelf of the towel was missing. So, they were full. I do. So
unlock and everything.
We need to be much more vigilant in locking things and making sure that people aren't locking
up. There's been three different thing occurrences this week on the gas. Two before you change the combination, and one since you changed the
combination. We're going
to
find out who's
going to get a game cam. You can buy a game cam for $99.
What? If you lock the main gate going into the light, dark, dude, with a combination lock,
so
they have to
put it in. I thought somebody told me they couldn't get in there because that gate was locked.
Well, hey, don't lock the gate.
She said she drove up and looked like it was locked. She didn't get out
and try. And it wasn't actually locked.
She didn't want to dead, and that's what I was thinking. Things were locked.
Don't lock the gate.
Because people would be able to pull in.
So,
I propose that we
take in some. I second that proposal. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Two. Tell me what you need two for.
Well, you have another point in the corner and another point into the yard from another direction. And someone doesn't steal the chip out at once.
You have
it. Where's the king can?
Where's the black guy?
Well, your game cam should be in a place where nobody can see it or find it.
Well, it's going to flash, right?
Okay.
Go ahead.
$99 for three game cams.
Okay.
Don't spend a penny. I've got two game cameras I will give to the ring.
We have a game camera out there just as you turn on Meadow Canyon. It's on that sign out there.
What? There's a hole going right through the middle of it.
Okay.
Good shot.
Okay, game cam. Brent's got a couple he's going to provide. You need to get them installed.
There's several on the road. I just don't have anything else.
No. You're going to have two in the where you're looking at the fuel.
So we know who's in and out of that.
If it can have a view of the laundry shed and tool room or something like that, even better. Okay.
Does the tower out there support a monitoring system?
No.
No.
Too inconsistent.
Well, one of the things we can do, and Bash is on the, he's on the line, you know, we have a camera that sits on top of the solar shed that looks out towards Deer Springs Point. We can turn that camera. And Vance, can we put that on? Well, no, that wouldn't work because it's still always in and out.
Motion sensor?
But we can turn that camera facing into the yard. And now with all the leaves out of, you know, so
yeah, you're almost off.
Okay.
Well, let's evaluate that, but we need to figure out how to get that so we can see who's in and out. It is cold?
I'm cold.
John, you mind? There's a thermostat right around the corner right there. You can just turn it up a little bit. Okay. All right. Let's finish up a couple things before we get farther down the road. All right. So we've talked a little bit about caretaker report, and then we jumped down to discussion. While we have Phil in the hot seat before, sorry, I'm skipping you, Kathy. We're going to come back to you. I just wanted, okay. This non-member, and it's the same for any member. The reason I put Ms. Torrance on the agenda was two things. One, I wanted to understand a little bit about what happened, number one. And number two, more to talk about how we're going to deal with these things in the future. We talked last year, if you remember, about people getting out there and getting stuck, and we're not going to pull them out as ranch employees and as ranch. We'll give them a ride to the ranch house and keep them warm, but there's too much liability in trying to help pull somebody's bumper off or get them ran over or get them stuck between vehicles. So we're not doing that. You members can do that as good neighbors if you want, but we can't take the liability. So with this lady, my understanding is she came out, and it's the same with members or non-members. I'm not distinguishing. You helped her into the cabin as far as getting started, but she didn't have any gas in her car or was low on gas. And then she just disappeared for several hours to go to her lot or walking or something. And that caused concern. Obviously, that situation is over and done with. But how are we going to deal with that as far as members? I mean, it's a ranch out there. People know that they come out. And I don't think it's up to us, and I don't think it's necessarily even a good idea to have to worry about that stuff and to be checking on and following people up and following them.
What they do is none of our business. They check in and check
And I understand that, but what I'm trying to talk about here is when that situation arises, can we give clear instruction to Phil and to whoever the long-term independent contractor or whatever is? I think we tell them, look, it's none of your business what happens or doesn't happen. You check them in, you check them out. Other than that, don't bother them.
They die.
I don't know any other way to deal with it. Do you? Any?
Oh, you can't be running around chasing everybody, making sure they're okay without babysitters.
Well, and I think if we start, then we're going to go down a rabbit hole that people are going to expect that, and then when we don't do it, then we create liability. That's my concern.
Well, I think when they're supposed to check out, if you see all the things still in the cabin, you can make note that maybe they're missing or call your authority. Maybe they did go get lost.
How often do people that are supposed to check out not actually check out when they're supposed to? So it doesn't happen all the time.
So if it's over a beyond a reasonable amount of time, maybe you can connect the authority.
What do you think? So just so we can have a bright line rule that we, I would say 24 hours. Let's check on Friday, and they're still there Saturday morning. Then at that point, we make a call saying, just letting you know, Sheriff, this person was supposed to check out. I have no idea where they're at. Their stuff's still in the cabin. They're lost. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think it would be reasonable to get there. Somebody that's involved. I got lost. And the first call is to the sheriff to say they're lost. Instead of calling maybe my wife or my brother or my dad to say, hey, is there enough to say he's going to go take a little walk about?
Well, I think if we know, then that certainly would happen.
Well, that person, I guess that's a different question.
Yeah. I don't know this lady. I did read her letter. She's probably a really nice lady, but she sounds a little... I mean, when you go to a ranch and the cow's noise makes you uncomfortable, then that's...
They were going to their mommies.
Well...
Or their kids.
I just... There's some of those things that we have no control over, but bottom line is, I don't think we can... You're here on your own. You're obviously here because you want to be. Unless there's, you know, next day they haven't checked out, then I don't think we bother them or anything. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know. I don't know next day. Let me give you an example. Mariah can tell you on this. Which one? We extended the stay up for the upper cabin. Because Dave Curry wanted to come in for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No problem. Good guy. We like Dave. Remember? Yeah. So they come in. So the next day, with the help of the Collinses, I went up there to winterize. And I absolutely waited till 1 o'clock in the afternoon because 11 o'clock was checkout. And I wanted to make sure that everything was set. We start dumping the water at about 1 o'clock, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I'm telling them about how the system works and everything. And it takes quite a while to dump 10,000 gallons of water. But then we drive up to Cabin 1. And lo and behold, there's still a car there. And I go, they were supposed to be gone on the left. And anyway, there was some mix-up that day that these people who came with Dave, they were from California. California plates in the car, I don't know whatever. They were planning on staying another day. Now there's nothing we can do. The car's gone and whatever. But anyway, it all worked out. You know, we just dumped the water, we turned up the gas, we did all the normal things, everything but blow the blinds out, and we go in there, and here's car sitting there, and then there's luggage upstairs, and so I'm scratching my head, and I'm thinking, oops. I mean, there's all the water's down the hill, there's nothing else I can do. What I'm saying is, that if we, I don't know if the next day is the, you know, I wouldn't panic, you know, I'd wait at least 24 hours from the time, you know, they're not there and they don't come around till the afternoon or whatever. I just move their stuff out, move the new person in, and then they don't.
I think, and I understand that. I think my point is, and instructions to you, correct me if you disagree, and anybody else, is if somebody's not where they're, if they haven't checked out and their stuff's still there and they disappeared, then your job is not to go find them or look for them or anything else. Your job is to, at some point, reasonable, after a reasonable period of time, let the authorities know and leave it at that. Does that make sense? That way we avoid problems with people getting upset and that kind of stuff. And I know I was traveling, I got lots of emails, and quite honestly, I didn't understand. I understand a little better now what happened. But just in the future, I think we say, hey, this is not a full-service spa. It is a do-it-yourself spa. So
I think it's a very rare occasion that something like that happens, and this one happened to be kind of the perfect storm, because
I'm going to go up this way for a minute. So I'm going to keep an eye on the car for a minute.
I think Bill was trying to look out for somebody that he didn't need to look out for. She could have certainly made things easier, even on dealing with animal fees and everything else.
Yeah,
I think it's not easy enough to just put attention in the release of liability that we all sign before you ever say someone.
I think we've got adding it in. It wouldn't hurt, but just having something in the release that says you're on your own. It's fairly clear, I think, to most people. And last year we had a few people with, you know, trucks getting stuck and those kind of things. And I think we have to be careful as well to get involved in. All right, Kathy, back to you, sorry.
Well, I'm going to bring her back up again because full disclosure on Kathy, I brought that up because I saw people call.
Yeah, I dropped my wife off. I just want to go by, pick it up, and move it. Well, I knew that, but my wife got a bad knee. I got a bad knee. I can't walk very far, so I'm just going to go find some place to park.
I get that way.
I've only been in here about 2 minutes. Okay, what do we have to do from here? Welcome to America. Okay. How do I say it?
You'd be catching
cold. Right now, you suffer on the person that's over the cabin, but usually it's
the... Vietnam vet. Bad knee. Doesn't matter, does it? Well, I mean,
yeah, it does. Okay, you do what you got to do.
You want that or no? Okay.
Anyway, it's a situation where I just...
Good word.
...in the play.
You need a what now?
Pin number on the green button.
Well, pin number's on that. I can't see it, but you got it in there.
Is
that number there?
No. Your code. You call ATM, your code.
Workers.
The
volunteers. And it's not really...
There's no sign that even says it's a private parking lot here. I pulled in here and pulled in. I can do it here. Give me a half a minute. There's not even a sign. If I came in right through here.
Hey, Kathy? Kathy or
Mary, my American glasses.
I think somebody's saying Kathy or Barry. I just want to jump in. Somebody on teleconference, your phone is not on mute. You're hearing everything you say. People on teleconference, mute your phone.
I'm in here. Well, you can't see it when you pull in here, sir.
No, you're not the one who's
trying to find. Well, I'm not in. do what you got to do, buddy.
Sorry, no, not you.
Somebody has their phone not on you.
All right, I think we got it fixed, I think. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I decided, because I've been approached for a couple of times, but I wanted to check out the situation on the complimentary cabin time. And for the... cabin 7 is $25 per week, and cabin 3 is $30. We do 6 weeks on for the renovation fee. Now, they're going to be jumping money back into the pay for the time, cocaine or whatever. And we've got quite a few weeks. 11 weeks
for the
renegotiate the lease or terminate the lease, which you're welcome to, and be happy to discuss it. And again, I'm looking at you, even though it's that's an agreement that has existed and is in place for the next 10 years. There's nothing we can do about it.
Okay, but in the lease, it says 2 weeks for the spring to add along and 2 weeks to pay off.
It also says that they need any time as long as they book it within the week of use time.
So let's just clarify that the contract for the members. The contract was written so they could come out and manage the cattle as much as they can. But it was written for the members' use of the cabin. If there's an available cabin, if a cabin isn't being used the week before, he can tell them, hey, I'll come out next week and do it. If the cabins are all being used, he can't come out. So it's the only way he benefits is if there's an open cabin space. The cabin's going to sit and burn propane, keeping the hot water heater hot anyway. But it's a minimal fee or cost to the ranch specifically, unless you start calculating dollars. You know, that hey, if somebody came in and paid dollars for that. But people have every opportunity up to the week before to book all the cabins and close him out. Members have first choice in this. And if no members are using it, then, yes, the cattle guy can come in and get in the cabin, and we're not going to charge him for being in the cabin. However, bring your own linens and bring your own sleeping bag and stuff so we don't have to do your laundry and stuff. And that's what the deal is. So
if we had to do and go through the process over again, it's something that I think we'd look a little bit differently at. Bottom line is, I was surprised when I looked at the amount of uses that there is. But at the end of the day, unless the entire lease is renegotiated on both sides, there's nothing we can do about it. That's the problem.
And this kind of has been happening for many, many years anyway. The same thing happened, but now where we're managing so closely all the cabin uses, then they can't just call and say, Nancy, we want to come out and tomorrow night, is there a cabin open? And they just go out and stay in the cabin tomorrow night and gone. So now, in order to do it, we force them to book the time
a week in advance
before they can get up, so they make sure that they can come out and get it. So if we could have a little bit more, I don't know, give and take a little bit in that, then the days are reduced. Oftentimes he doesn't even use the cabin in it. And if he really needs to have a cabin, then he has to do it several weeks in advance. And I know he spent over $1,000 in fees to the ranch. And I think for cabins that he had to have and he couldn't count on not getting. And so it's not like he doesn't not want to pay his way or his full share, or he's not trying to get anything for free. But
well,
just so everybody knows, I'm glad that came out. So maybe many people don't understand the cow contract. And that's open contract. Anyone's willing to, any member should have a right to see whatever they want to on the treasury report, whatever they want to on the reservation report, whatever they want to on the cattle contract. And you can get a copy of the cattle contract and see what it is that's signed and what they're talking about.
Right. Really quick, I have a copy of the cattle contract, and I can't find where it says you can call out the lease again. Do you know where that is in there?
Not right off, but if you wanted to take the middle of the board, we could go through it all.
Well, I can go through it, too. I'm just concerned maybe that I don't have the total extra. When I can ask Barry, if he's not here, I thought maybe you would
I can help you with the big words, Brett.
I thought I had a current contract copy. Based on software in here, it's not included in it. I do have a copy of the signature page. It's the one that I thought was. Do we have a copy somewhere that I can get in my record?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think the senior question is the understanding that Hunts can reserve the cabin 1 week in advance if there's no reservation tickets available, but Mariah is not finding that in the copy of the contract.
Is that your copy?
Yeah, well, if the member calls me, then I read that to them. If I don't have the right one, I don't want to be reading to them the wrong stuff. I would have the impression I have the correct
one. Let's do this. Who's here? So how about if we take a couple minute break, I'll look through that while we all get a sandwich and some chips and cookies. And then we'll reconvene to finish the meeting. Does that work? Let's just start it again. Let's just start again and see if we can't wrap some things up. All right. I interrupted Kathy, your segment, while I went and I just turned off the copy of the contract I've got and gave it to Mariah. I don't know if you want to look it over and then, or if you have other comments.
I just did.
Any other discussion? I do think it's a good idea to disclose what we're doing as far as cabin usage and that kind of stuff. Helps us track. Again, I was a little surprised with the amount, but it's part of the agreement we have.
I don't think that there's a problem with the lease, but I think there's a problem that they should be able to make sure that the members have. Well, they're staying there for free, and we work there. So, there is usage of the propane, and there's usage of the gas. And I know that Brad has said it's minimal, but I know there's been times where that they ran the generator for our guests. Now, we have this radio, and it's having lights at all. She said there was one propane light that worked.
I'm glad you can tell us what we didn't think or didn't think about, Kathy.
What are you talking about?
Just don't tell us what I thought. Do you want to know what
let's not go there. Finish your thought and
what I'm trying to say is that we went up there and worked on the cabin, volunteered, worked in the dark, and there was no light turned off for us. But I know there's been several times that the generators have been left on for them.
Well, I'll just address that from my point of view,
mm-hmm.
And then anybody else who wants to jump in or discuss briefly. Number one, if you're up there working on the cabin doing repairs, there is absolutely no reason why somebody didn't radio and have them turn the generator on. That's number one. Number two, the Hunts, again,
use is more than I thought it would be, but at the same time, it's not free. We get $12,000 a year out of it. And so there's money there that we make in, based on this contract. It's
not, you think that we make $12,000 a year off of the house? I know that's the lease, but we're paying to have somebody water their house. We're using them to cabin. We're just using the propane. I'm not trying to cause a fight with the house, okay? Just revert the tables here, Brad. And as the mayor was, let's say I'm the one that was making the money. You're making money. You're bringing people in to use the cabins to come and buy their cabins, your cabins. You're making money. So what I'm saying is if the tables were reversed and I was benefiting from that and using the generator and the power and whatever, you feel comfortable? I know you've always been. We've got to watch out for the members. I did all this savings on this propane and fuel expense, but in the same token, you're using it. And I'm just trying to bring it out. I think that the members should be aware of what's going on here.
I would love for the members to be aware of what's going on here.
What's that?
I would love for the members to be aware of what's going on here. So, number one, let me just point out that with the cattle lease, I recused myself from the vote, and it was a unanimous vote among the board members who were there. Number two, I did not negotiate the cattle lease. The cattle lease was negotiated between Doug Hunt and Jerry Clarkson. I wasn't involved in the negotiation of the cattle lease. Number three, with the negotiation of that cattle lease, which was just 2 years ago, Doug Hunt forgave our ranch $8,000 that we owed him. I don't think that he could possibly have used $8,000 worth of propane in the next 2 years that he's been there. And on top of that, now he's procured a contract to bring up to $70,000 to agriculture in there, and he's not even a member. That money is going to be coming into the ranch for our infrastructure upkeep with fences, for water projects, and to do all of the other things. I think it's he paid his way. He always has paid his way. He'll continue to pay his way.
Several times, I have never seen a proposal from you on that. I've had members call me and ask me, what is this? I have no idea. I have never seen a proposal. If any other member that comes up with something, they have to provide a proposal so people know it. We don't know what's going on. We don't.
Proposals have been made available for years now. It's been taking 3 years in order to get this done. So, was there at the last board meeting? Was there at the board meeting before? Never mind.
I'm just saying, I don't
want to call members myself.
I don't
know. Well, I haven't called somebody that knows them. Well, haven't called
okay.
Me. I'd love to
don't
talk
you
to
think
them.
That maybe the board members should know?
Well, let me clarify. First, a proposal as far as money, grant money coming in, that's been discussed, and there's been
I know we've discussed
it. And there have been descriptions as to what's proposed. Now, we haven't gotten to the point where we've seen any money yet, but we're moving in that direction. So, I mean, as far as, again, having members know what's going on is a good thing. That includes usage, cabins, and everything else. I was involved in negotiation of the lease, and I know exactly why we went back and forth on delivering water and how far that went. And in order to increase the lease from $10,000 a year to $12,000, there was a lot going on, including, and the reason why the cabin stuff came up, I'll just give you a 2-second background. We were anxious and getting complaints from members that we wanted to get rid of the motorhome that was up there. And he said, you know what, I can get rid of the motorhome if I can have use of the cabin. So all this stuff was discussed. I know you weren't on the board at that point in time. And I know that members may or may not know what's going on. All they need to do is call somebody that was involved, and I'd be happy to share information and ask them why it's there. Now, the fact of the matter is that contract's there, and unless both parties want to terminate it, it doesn't really matter. So, I mean, It is what it is. It says what it says. Looking back, if I could renegotiate the lease, if the Hunts are open to it, then I would absolutely be happy to sit down with them or have any number of members of the board to do the same thing. at this point, I don't know if there's any interest. Jack, I tried to call your dad a few times, but I just got voicemail. But the fact of the matter is, the contract says what it says. It is what it is. And if anybody's unhappy with what it says, then they are unhappy with me, because I was the one that basically went through the process, explained it to the board at that time multiple times, and had discussions, and it was approved. So, lastly, I just want to read into the minutes the contract itself that we're talking about. It says, additionally, Hunt will be allowed to use DSROA cabins as long as they are available and not being used by members or their guests. Hunt shall not be allowed to reserve a cabin until the week prior to its intended use to ensure availability and use for cabins by members first. All right. Any other discussion or questions or concerns? I know it's a hot issue, and I know members are not terribly happy about it, but they'll just have to blame that on me. As much as I'd love to blame it on Brad, he didn't have anything to do with it, unfortunately. He stepped out. It is what it is.
When you say members,
I wasn't attacking Brad. That's what I was saying. I was trying to open the option of renegotiating or open up the lease, trying to see if there's a possibility of making
the change. And I would love for that to be the case, but so far in the attempts that I've had to open discussions, the lease, believe me, I won't speak for you guys because I don't know, but Doug Hunt was about as unhappy with the end result as I was. We both had to bend on certain things to make it work. But my understanding was, based on the board at that point in time, the member they talked to, we want to, if possible, we want to have the Longhorns out there, and we want to maximize the amount of money that we can get off of that relationship so that we have money to do other things and to supplement the budget. And I did the best I could. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect.
Well, what I'm hearing is she's just questioning whether there's any abuse that's happening. If the generator is being run for particular people to use the cabin, but not other people, that could fall under abuse.
If we have documentation of when that happened, then we can look at it. But just saying it happened, it may or may not. I mean, bottom line is,
do we need to log the hours the generator is being used? Is that over management?
Hopefully, well, we could.
No, I'm not saying should. And
for what purpose?
That's my question. That's the question that's bringing out.
Being run at such and such a day for this amount of time for this purpose.
What are the current?
Maybe Phil can clarify. The generator never runs except when the water is being pumped. Is that right?
That's not true.
Okay, the generator just runs.
No, I run there a lot when I do my laundry. When I was doing it, it was cold, I had to do my laundry to keep going throughout the night, do my laundry, catch up, just debug me a whole bunch of laundry. But then when I did catch it up, I did run it. But when I knew she was up there, or Brad, or somebody, I thought, I think I'll just go run the generator for and give them some lunch. So I did.
Sounds like we need to establish some parameters on when and where and what. Just so everybody feels like they're being treated fairly.
If there's an entertainer, I'll run the generator. I think that's what I'm supposed to do.
An entertainer?
For instance, sometimes at our annual meeting, we have Mike Ewing come out.
Well, yeah, no, I was just questioning what you meant by the annual meeting. Do we have entertainers very often?
All right,
let's
can the cabin somebody bring a generator? Is there a place?
place to plug them into a cabin?
One cabin.
One cabin, you can do that too?
Like a garden cabin as well.
I think that'd be great if we could do that to all the cabins. Bring your own generator, fire it up, and you don't have to worry about it.
Electrical wiring could be figured up to do that.
Oh, but you're right.
Yeah.
I was one of the garden cabinets, real simple.
Yeah. I have run the generator a little bit more because our batteries suck. So I've been trying to get a little more juice going on to do different things. But yes, you know, normally we only run the generator when we're pumping water.
And there's nights that we're in the dark in our cabins too. So.
Well, I think in order to avoid frustration, then I think we need to do the best we can to treat everybody fairly and equally and that kind of stuff. But I can tell you, if people are doing work with power tools and that kind of stuff and remodeling that kind of stuff, there's no question that they think the generator should be run to help them out.
There's no power structure in that other than solar.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, you use the generator for that, but you need the light to do what you don't. So we need the generator.
So, Kathy, Cabin 7 is no longer connected to the ranch grid.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So the generator doesn't affect it.
No, Cabin 7 never has been hooked up to the grid.
But, well, when the solar was installed, the ranch grid was disconnected from to save money, the ranch grid was disconnected. So the solar is standalone, all right? We would have to put in, and it's not real expensive, but we would need to put in either a manual or an automatic transfer switch so we could run the generator.
Like a houseboat. When you're in dock, you flip the switch and you're on dock power, and when you're out, you flip the switch and you can run the generator or have the solar.
Right. In order to save money, the ranch grid was disconnected. I can show you right where the wires are. They're capped off. In fact, they're right where that I put the plug in for the new water heater. They're right next to that. But they're disconnected. And so running the big generator, well, it would help you, like when you have people staying in cabin 8.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd have light there. But it wouldn't do you any good in cabin 7. You're going to have to run a portable generator. Unless we go to the expense and go to problem of putting either a manual or an automatic transfer switch.
Well, I'm not over renovations anymore, so
I think we need to put together a policy of when to run the big generator and that kind of stuff to maximize the value without wasting. And we need to figure out how to be fair to everybody. I don't have an answer for that.
Instead of asking, I'd turn it on. If there was a need, you know, hey, we're having a big party up here, can we? Sure. Like when Nancy Brayton came and you got to go with up there, we should absolutely turn it on.
Let's just start blogging when we turn it on and when we turn it off. I know that's a pain, but let's do it. That way when we have specifics we're talking about. Does that work?
We can do it.
And the same log could say it was on and we pumped, or it was on and we didn't pump. I don't know why you wouldn't pump even when you're doing laundry and stuff, unless the tank's full.
Yeah, tank's full.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. All right. We ready to move on? I feel like I'm disappointing everybody today.
Yeah. Cookies were a little dry. Hold on.
I'm really not trying to pick on that.
Your brother, Larry, is anybody.
And we all should. And we all should, and it can be uncomfortable. We just have to figure out a way to communicate the issues, try to resolve them. Step in on a few toes.
We can't answer members' questions if we don't have the information. So, for you to get the information is important.
All right. Ranch management update. It was the next one, and I have given everybody an essay. That is, we're going to look at engaging an independent contractor to handle what we have traditionally used as ranch caretakers or management, and we'll be working on that over the next few weeks with proposals and as far as the structure. Once we get those in place, then we'll contact all those who have expressed interest in doing the job and saying, this is what we're hiring, or this is what structure we're using. Are you interested in, if so, at what price, so that we can compare apples to apples and know what we which way to go. Okay? Any questions on that? All right. Let's just take a few minutes and talk about each of our areas of responsibility, and I'm first, so I'll talk about water. As you guys know, we have an assessment by the health department, and I didn't know this, I'm learning, but it's completely separate than what we do at the state on water testing. So the health department does an evaluation, which they do that every 3 years. I didn't know that. Now you know. So they have it every 3 years, and that's where they come in and assess. Do we have, let me actually go through the things that they told us we did wrong.
This is the health department?
Yes. It's called a sanitary survey.
Who did it?
Rachel and Brett were out there to meet with the guy. His name was Jeremy Roberts. He's a nice guy from the health department down here. And then they also have a person from the Department of Environmental Quality. That's who we sent our water tests to in their office. So they came back with 4 problems. Two of the problems have to do with, and I didn't know this, we have to educate our members and our board members out about cross-connection contamination. And that's as simple as getting information from the state and explaining either in our annual meeting or in a newsletter that we can then produce to them, that we've told people, when you fill up your water tank, don't stick the hose in because it siphons water back and that kind of stuff. We don't have any contraptions related to cross-contamination. We're a small enough system. We don't have backflow valves and all this other junk. But we have to educate our members. So that's one thing we didn't have. We didn't have documentation that had happened, which we're going to. I'm suggesting we do it in a newsletter so we have a piece of paper, but it wouldn't hurt to also mention it in the annual meeting.
Yes. Is there a chance that somebody has to deliver water out there to the members from the well, and then you don't have to have that issue? I called the state engineer because they do not have any guidelines that they do not haul water. I asked if it was culinary. He said, you know, if it was culinary, no, we don't. We have one. Are you aware of that?
Well, you have to have approved source, but who hauls the water doesn't matter. Anybody, a person could say, like if Brian had the cabin, he has to haul water. So you just call the service, say, I need water, and they charge, it's like, you know, 5 cents a gallon instead of 5 cents for 100 gallons. But, yeah, fill up the trailer, dump it in your tank, and you're done. So there's nothing wrong with that. But we currently do not have a fill station that's state approved. You have to have a fill station that goes up. You have to have the hose come down. It cannot touch the container that you're filling. There's a bunch of requirements that we've got the information on. And that whole,
I don't know if part of your question was, can somebody from the ranch deliver water?
Yeah, somebody wanted to say, I'll have to pick up the holy water.
Yes.
I can't still remember that. Is there anybody that hauls water?
Somebody could, but... You do have to, it's almost like a license you have to get because you're dealing with health. So you have to have a potable water hauling device, your trailer, your truck, that would be, you just can't go get the horse and trot, haul it,
so they
don't
have any regulations
that
they don't have any.
Yeah, no, it's the county health. Yeah.
So if, like, we wanted to purchase a water truck and just go in the business of water hauling to them,
check with the Southwest Health District right here and verify if they say you're good to go and inspect your equipment, then you're good to go. One thing you don't have, though, because the ranch doesn't have it as a source, so if you wanted to do that right today, you'd have to haul it from Canapa.
You can't even haul it from Canapa. Canapa doesn't have a source. You have to haul it from
Fredonia.
But we have to figure, we're figuring out how to get in.
But they run out of it once in a while, but they just call SNAP and ask everybody to flush the color as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so the things we had problems with were making the public aware and providing the information. The last one talks about we have to disinfect our groundwater, blah, blah, blah. That was a big freak out because it was a big thing and it would mean we have to install the chlorinator and a bunch of junk. I talked to them. They said, we're taking that off. And I didn't ask questions. They said, your system doesn't qualify. That's going to come off. That's the one that we had to fix within 120 days. They said, don't worry about it. I asked them about putting in the chlorination system in our system. And they say, if we did that, that's fine. We have to have a system that works, and then you have to have the water tested 3 times a week.
Jeez.
And you have to have somebody certified in chlorination systems, which is somewhat similar to your chemical purchasing agent. And they said, we would not, if we were you, we would avoid chlorinating at all costs as long as you meet the rules that you guys do. So that's the end of that discussion as far as I'm concerned. Now, they did recommend... And Vance also said this. They did recommend that in August and September, where we have the most sales, that we basically treat a couple of times during those months as a precaution. Does that make sense? The only thing that we don't have that is in the works is we have to update our source protection zone plan. The last one expired in 2016, so part of your putting in the fence that I have to call the experts in Salt Lake, and they will help me to figure out how we can update our source protection plan. So I'm working on it. But I wanted to report both meetings, and I'm trying to keep track of it and move forward. But we also need to have, I think, Mariah, we need to keep a better set of records, and because I didn't know that this inspection was every 3 years automatically. I thought they were coming out because of the failed water test. They have nothing to do with each other. They don't even talk to each other, is what I thought. Different inspections. The inspection for the failed water was what we had Rachel fill out online, and they're also going to be sending us more stuff that we need to do. So there's two agencies, two different rules and regulations, and we have to do all of them.
So quick question for you. When, and I'm still... a little unsure on what Rachel's help is in the process, but we sent out the file a while ago, I think last year, and Rachel kept a bunch of the paperwork out of my file, and I just got back mainly testing information. Do you know, is that paperwork out there? Can I have all that back? Because I'm sure that had all that information in it, but it was taken from me.
Bill, do you have a water file?
Because they felt like that she would know what to do with it.
We're going to go through the closet tomorrow or Monday.
We're going to go through. We got our nitrate test coming up,
okay.
Which we have to have done before the end of the year. And I told Phil that I'll come down. The nitrate paperwork and the nitrate bottles are different than the normal one.
Right.
And we have to take it to the lab at Southern Utah University. We'll look. On Monday, we'll look when I'm down.
What we need to do is we need to keep a complete set of files with all the documents, including this that I'm going to give you after the meeting today, in the office with you.
Perfect.
So that as we rotate through as board members, employees, or otherwise, we know where to find the paperwork and we can give them. If we had filled out correctly this little questionnaire, which I think you have a copy of already, then the first two of the errors, which are minor ones, wouldn't have been there. We still have the source protection thing, which expired now almost 3 years ago, that I didn't quite honestly know you had to update. I figured once you have it in place, it's done. But
so meticulously understanding from here on out, as water certifiers customarily need copies of these, I'm going to give them actual copies. We do not have to any of the information that's original or anything.
Yeah, you just give them copies of what you've got. You need to keep your own. You need to keep the ranch records.
Okay.
Any questions on water? Okay. Kurt?
Headquarters. Not quite sure what it means yet, but now that I have the budget request, thank you. It lists a lot of things that I want to address. I'll be up there for about a week, starting Tuesday or Wednesday. And I will get this budget request. There's a lot that needs to be done.
Okay. And
we'll try to do this each meeting to give you an opportunity to just bring up anything that you want to discuss rather than cutting people off. So as we go through the process, if there's anything you need to discuss in your area of responsibility, great. If you don't, then pass the time. So, all right, Brad.
Just to piggyback back to you, are you planning with the water to continue to build all the projects with the solar?
Am I?
Oh,
no.
The half moon
project. Right. I'm not up to speed as to where that's at, so I can't tell you. Yes, right now my focus is getting out of trouble. That's going to take me a little while. And I would love for somebody to take over water, because I've got my hands full with legal stuff and training to work on employment stuff. So.
Everybody works the ride.
This takes several meetings talking to people in the state and everything else.
Who's the one board member who
was working towards and what he was planned on getting done? And so I can't tell you I'm moving forward on any of that right now. My hands are full.
I thought Brad based it there.
For the water. Brent wants to do it. No, it's Brent and Vance are super helpful and have a great deal of information, but they don't want to make the call to the state, and they certainly don't want to come to St. George or go to Salt Lake and sit down with these people. I do need you to talk to Mark Fisher.
Okay, I can do that.
We need him on board starting January. Because we have Rachel right now. By the way, the certified operator really doesn't do anything other than have their name on a piece of paper. And she's willing to stay there, but in December her license expires, and she's probably not going to retest or renew, so we have to get somebody else to do it. And it saves us on points. It makes us look better on this stuff if we have an operator.
What does it take? Yeah, what does it take?
You have to go through a class, a week-long class, and then take a big, hairy exam. And it's lots and lots of math.
You have to
get continuing education every year to keep it current.
Yeah.
So you have to do the week-long class, get the license, and then during the year you have to do another 2 or 3 days of training. It's not easy.
I'll
bet she would be willing if she got a little.
But she let her classes expire.
Yeah, she has renewed.
She didn't do any of her continuing education stuff. Right.
Unless you could squeeze it in between now and the end, and to be honest with you, where there's already a separation there, I'd just soon get somebody that we can use from now moving forward. So.
Yes.
All right. We were to Brad.
The main priority, which is going to be the hardest to do, the most agricultural change that we can change to the ranch is if we can kill out that rabbit brush. And we're having a problem with purchasing the herbicide at large scale because of the license issue. So that problem is hopefully being solved. And then if it doesn't snow too much, we can go to work on that when we get the herbicide.
Anyway, let me know where we're at.
We'll be able to turn this half moon
thing that Phil was working on. I think he should go ahead.
Is he still doing it?
Phil called vision for the Passman Reservoir was to put in an expandable system large enough so in the future the ranch could use that water that we have. Because we have a substantial amount of water right out of Half Moon Reservoir. So his vision is that, if I understand it correctly, is that he wanted to put in a system that we didn't even have a use for until we came up with the watering trough and stuff. Now we can at least use that water, which will preserve our water rights by actually proving up on the water that we use. And so we do not need anywhere near that advanced system to put in to prove up on our water rights. And we need a couple of panels. Brent can tell you, you know, probably, what, $5,000 worth of stuff or something. That's all we need to do to put the water tanks in and to prove up on the water to run the tanks in the water. And so we can, if we want to now, at this point, we can go ahead and build the expanded version and let it be there for when it is available for you. I plan the water tank clear to each side of the fields that's out there, so that if water was available, that could actually be a field that we could use as agriculture or do something else, because then the water troughs aren't in the spaces that we would need to use the, you know.
Could it ever be used as a water source for potable water?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So here's what we need to do now. We need to figure out what we need to put in the budget wise, so that we can move forward on that when all this other stuff settles down there in the next month or two.
I know that he had saved out money.
There's supposed to be money.
Yeah.
To go ahead and move forward on.
Well, we need to go with the bigger plan. Do you have a suggestion? What kind of?
I have no problem with what Phil put together, other than the fact that he put in an inverter and batteries. If he changed out the pump, so it's a AC-DC pump rather than pure AC pump, we would have an expandable system. But I have no problem with the number of panels. I had a problem with the pump. I had a problem with advances online. Problem with the inverter and problem with the battery. We can buy a pump that will do both AC and DC, and then down the road, if we think we need to add an inverter, we can add an inverter. If we add batteries, we can add batteries. But that's more of an expandable system than what I felt Phil had designed for us. And in fact, I think I've still got the information. Vance, do you still have the stuff?
Yeah, I do. But I want to clear up a couple of things I'm not saying somebody's misleading everybody, but two things. Number one, we don't need to prove up on this water. We have a certificate on this well. Now, there's a lot of rumors going around about how the state takes back things you don't use. I have never heard of that happening. Has anybody else?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we do have a certificate on that well. Number two, if we go using it for potable, that well does not have a surface seal witnessed. It can't be used in a certified system, ever. Okay? We'd have to drill a new well, which we may need to do anyway because the yield on that well is nowhere near everybody thinks it is. We ran it. John Harris was there, Brent was there. It is nowhere near 10 gallons a minute anymore. And I don't know if it's because it needs to be rehabbed or Phil was looking at fracking it or whatever. The well needs to be seriously evaluated before we do any design work on anything because we don't know what it's capable of doing or not doing at this point. So some things need to happen.
And I think we need to look at making those things happen. I just don't think we're ready to make that decision right now, but we do need to fit it into the budget so we have some money once we decide what to do. Does that make sense?
Completely agree, but we also need to, you know, take this a step at a time and figure out what it is we want to do so that we spend our money wisely.
Yes.
Based on what the well yield actually is.
Mara, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So if you say Phil had money set aside.
Yeah.
Also, at the beginning of the meeting, you said if we spend what we have right now, then we're going to end up with $300. was that money in that budget, or was it set aside in a special project budget?
In that budget. The fact that I gave you is
So my question is, it sounds like that money really doesn't exist if we don't want to go into negative
because
on the budget.
Because of the over budgets we've had, we're over budget by $21,000 so far.
And we aren't going to do the project this year anyway.
Right.
But we do need to budget
money for next.
And the only question is, do you want to put it in your budget for livestock, or do you want me to put it in the water budget?
Can I say water budget, please, for me?
Okay, never mind.
Water budget. That'll make it easier for me to track.
So I'm going to try to, when I put in my budget proposal, I'm going to put in, after I talk to you and a few other people, some money to be able to do an expandable system at the Half Moon Reservoir, initially for livestock.
Okay.
And I agree with Vance, the quality might be there for a certified system, but most of the systems, including the upper cabin system, is not a certified system either. Those mean, when you say potable, non-potable, if you're certified and you have met all the requirements, then you can say we have a certified water system to provide potable water. Most of the people out there drink, theoretically, technically speaking, non-potable water. So can it provide water for humans? Not on a certified system unless we redo the well, but at your own risk. Is it possible to provide water to humans? Yes.
I just don't want to melt while taking a shower.
No problem with showering. Okay.
Yes. You mentioned Half Moon Reservoir. I know that's in the well that you mentioned. That thing has been really dry this year. So I don't know when we're going to get rain. But if we're ever going to clean that thing out the way it ought to be cleaned out, should we do it now?
Yeah. Joe called me and talked to me about it because he thought Phil had money or possibly used the Half Moon well money or something. That's when I called you to ask what was the agreement with.
All right. Probably go for right now. If there was time to clean it ourselves. I remember when we went through that and we put out something like $7,000 to LSD to do that one and do the silt catch up above. Well, it was so wet that you couldn't pull down there underneath. It looked dry, but underneath pull anything out. Couldn't pull any kind of equipment in there. So he had to take his big, huge triangle and extend it as far as he could and drag it out, which left an island in the middle that's quite large. I can't honestly say, I don't think we could argue that the intent there. He was going to clean it out, but since he couldn't get in there, I'll bet you if you ask him now, say, well, you didn't opt because you couldn't get in there. Are you willing to clean?
I'm sure he did what he could for the amount of money that he got.
And I think you're right. I don't think that, I think I discussed this with Joe. And I don't think we can go back to Alan and say, okay, you know, you need to finish the job. Hey, you know, he's not going to do it. But it's real important that it be deeper. Right now it holds very little water compared to what it could. And if it's ever going to ever be dry, it'll dry now.
What's the problem? The cabin 7 or 8.
Yeah. When it comes past, you got to make head into that a little bit. Whoever's bringing it past, just see how dry that is.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're done using it as a cabin 7, so.
Yeah, I'll go do it.
Okay.
We can test it out with that, and then as time allows, Joe could whittle away at it while I've got big loader, the dozer there.
And it would only cost us red diesel fuel.
Yeah.
So
just take all your equipment down there, everybody.
Yeah.
Spend the day, done.
Oh, what's the
any
offering that double.
All right. Anything else, Brad?
No, it's good.
Kathy, anything that we haven't discussed?
Cabin 7, we still have just a few minor little things to do. We've made it so trainable. We're very grateful for everybody approving to get that tool trailer. And we do have it loaded in Indiana. And we've been around for 7 or 8 where we're working on.
And what are we providing to your brother for the trailer?
I'm basically the only one that's talked to him. When I called and talked to him about looking at it and picking it up and everything, he said I would be willing to do a trade. My initial understanding was a trade on some work out at the lot of Deer Springs. Later, I understood from him that it was at his driveway there in John Canyon. So I just said, hey, we'll work this out, and I'll get with your sister, and we'll get it figured out. Right now, I believe it's a $1,200 cash purchase or some kind of trade. He's not in any big hurry. He knows that it's, you know, Deer Springs isn't going to go anywhere. So we can work out with him if it's something that, you know, if my little rock production thing there at the ranch goes okay and I have some rocks and everything, then I can maybe do in the driveway and just the ranch can pay me for time to haul it down there or whatever. Either way, he's not in a big hurry to get money for the trade.
Okay, I was just going to say, we need sooner rather than later, then we also need to make sure that's in the budget. But if it's something we can trade on, then
I think it's something that he's probably totally fine to push it into next year's budget if we need to, or do the trade. And if we're doing the trade, I want the cash in right now.
Yeah. Anything else, Kathy?
We've got a lot of tools. Kurt's got a generator. I've got a bunch of tools. I've got tools. So we've got it locked out. And so I do need to get the key and make a couple of extra.
By the way, you need to get a bigger hammer so when we borrow it.
Oh, God. The hammer I need.
Okay.
I do have a bigger one.
Who's got the key now?
Right now it's hidden with Cabin 17.
Okay. So, but you're gonna get whatever keys you need.
Yeah, I should have called Phil and had him pick it up so I could take off. So you know where it's at. If you can make 3 or 4 coffees, that would be great. Kurt and I talked, and we kind of thought about putting Drake's Cabin, doing a maintenance log on it, so we've got record of everything that's being done. But also a maintenance log for like the new cabin that's come up and so on, free. That after 3 years, you steal the wood or paint or whatever. And just
right.
A maintenance schedule so we can keep up on these and keep the cabin.
That's the only way we're going to keep up on them. They've been neglected for a long time because nobody, it's kind of like roads, we didn't keep track of when we did this road last, and if you don't know when the deck was treated last, it's pretty hard to figure out when it needs to happen again.
And that's part of the spreadsheet is great for tracking all of your expenses and all that too, and keeping finding out the profitable in it for every dollar spent.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, so I'll start working on stuff like that with
Mariah. You got something to say,
Lisa? For redoing the ranch gate.
What's that?
The headquarters gate. I've been a couple of years since I've seen anything.
Girls camp.
Yeah,
girls.
I probably have enough.
Girls did it last year.
Did they?
Girls did the girls camp.
Except for the top of the park. We didn't have anything to get up there. So the top park.
But it should be on our maintenance schedule.
Yeah. But we have material to have the same. Like my question was, I'm trying to just go through and see who's responsible for all this stuff.
Because
that's what's on the list. Kathy, where are you over?
She's
at
Cabin.
Joe and I are both over Cabin. He's over upper and over lower.
And you are? Brad and I are over renovation.
And the headquarters.
And the headquarters. I'm over here.
No, you can see.
Kurt is what?
And who else is over Cabin?
Joe.
And
the
maintenance staff.
And all the cabins are in the one room, but there's 2 people running it so they can work in tandem.
Yeah.
All right, anything else, Kathy?
I think that was it.
John, anything before you head to court side?
Well, I just, it's not much. The roads are terrible now because it's been dry, and we've had, I believe, a lot of
extra traffic because of Bull Valley Gorge. And I've never seen Meadow Canyon so rough with the little washboards on it. But hey, nothing you can do to it. It'll just turn it to powder and make it worse until we get moisture. On fire, I have a big concern on fire on the roads, of course, because of all the dryness and what have you. That's been a worry for a couple of years on that because the rabbit brush is dry and now all the seeds are on the ground. And the deer hunt on the safety this year, we had no incidents.
No one shot the lock off?
No, they...
I had a hard time.
You have to lay down on your back to do anything in there.
I appreciate
that. And I lay down on my back to take it out. Well, at my advanced years, it took me 30 minutes to get back to my feet. I was able to fall down. But really, there's not much until we get some moisture. Larry, you got Jacobson done?
No, not quite. No.
And I see you've come down the pipeline, some.
Yeah. I'm kind of dabbling in multiple places.
Yeah.
Time.
And
your dog's hurting.
What's that?
Your dog's hurting.
Yeah.
And and you're going to be starting that 3,000 yards at some point. I really don't have anything.
Okay. Well, let's with the shift and kind of how we're handling managing and stuff, and then we're going to be, like you say, we're going to be looking for somebody independent to help with road stuff in the future. So keep that in mind in your planning.
I have some roads I want to get. I think right now it's kind of an important, what is that called, Johnny Brown that runs that corner that goes up over into Podunk, is that the...
Yeah.
I see that there's been a lot of traffic in there, but that thing's got to be almost impassable in places. And I was thinking about that earlier. I'd like that to be one of my goals today to grade that, because that is also important as a fire.
About 6 miles down the road, it was gone.
Yeah,
in the ravine, and
it's been gone for a while.
You'll have to take a dozer through there.
I nearly killed my wife and myself following this guy for years.
Which was that?
Johnny Brown.
I'm innocent still. Sunshine
followed all of him, and we both ended upside down before we were on top of it. Sunshine was underneath. I was on top of her, and the
well,
was
to on top of her,
and we were just like this. We were a sandwich.
All right. Larry, you got anything for us?
The one thing I would like to do, did you ever hear anything back from the fish guy?
No.
I tried to contact him, and his last voicemail says, if you need fish, contact Mark, who was the previous, the same name.
Right.
It was the previous owner, whether he's... It's reversed back to him or not, but I left all of them messages and didn't get a hold of them, so I'll keep trying.
Okay, and then I guess let me know what we need to do. I need to turn in this report, and I don't know what we can do. If we don't have information from him and his license number and everything,
but
this is due by the 31st of December, so let me know if we go.
I'll track him down. The other thing I would like to do is... this next year, I would like to, kind of like Kathy's picking a cabin to improve, I would like to pick a pond. Maybe we can do more than one, but I would like to put some of our wildlife money back into some of our wildlife things. The ponds are kind of a mess, overgrown with willows, and I would like to actually line them with large rocks so that there's a clean upper deck, you know, grass, like a mowed lawn to rocks that rain the ponds, and then a bank, not just a mush into the willows and mud.
Well, they got rocks.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll help you all that I can with that.
So I think at least the upper pond first, and kind of line the crossing on both sides of the rock and build that road so it's a better, safer driveway and then the fishing area. And then if money and time allow to do number two and number three, but that's the main thing I'm thinking of trying to do next year.
Is there money available through this? I know every year they ask me on this fishing renewal, did you make any improvements? Do they give credit for improvements? Are you aware of that?
There is money available through a couple of different agencies. Tonight is the meeting for the Ponce Nonce Deer Tag that I'm going over to. And I thought of them, but also through other conservation groups. There's money available if we do things. We
right.
kind of can't because we're not wanting our ponds to be open to public.
Right, right. For sure.
I tried to get money one year, and they're like, well,
we're all open to deer to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we got our dedicated hours when we were doing
them. I sell my food reps, you know. I'm buying your food, getting close to food on.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's
how
I got
the dedicated hours. Okay.
But there are.
Hey, guys, this is Mike McNichol. Can I make a comment real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to, I love Larry's idea working on the ponds. I was up there with my son and my grandson this last year. We spent a day out at the pond catching fish, and it was just a blast. And I just want to say I would love to help out with that. And I'm sure there's probably other owners that would like to help out as well. So if it's possible to try to plan that in advance, because, you know, I actually have to take vacation time off of work to come up and do stuff like that. But I would love to, you know, take some of my time and come up and help with a major project like that. It would just have to be planned out in advance.
Good. Yeah, thank you.
I'll get a hold of you, Mike. Bye. Thank you.
Sounds good.
All right. Is that it?
Yes.
Joe, are you still on the phone?
Lost his background noise.
All right, I think we've covered cabins that he's now participating with you on. So unless there's anything else, let's discuss our next meeting. I had initially prepared and sent out to everybody kind of a schedule of meetings. Since we're going to be talking about the budget next month, I thought we might have it over the phone, but that's really not going to work. And I hate to meet in December, but I think we need to have the budget done by the end of the year. So, I'm...
24th is open.
I'm looking at the second Saturday in December, the 14th. Does that work for everybody, anybody, nobody?
December 14th?
Yes. And I'm anticipating having it here unless somebody objects. Most of us are actually down closer to here than we are there, and we can't have it at the ranch. And you're in Quartzsite. We can invite everybody down. Maybe we can stay on
the island. Well, you know, we got some rocks out there we could put it with, too, while we were talking.
14th, December 14th, regular meeting at 11, executive session at 10. We're going to have quite a bit to discuss and decide. Hopefully we'll have the communications in the meantime and have a pretty good idea where we're going with ranch management or stuff.
And on that water, just give me some little bit of time. I wouldn't mind taking on over that for you. It would give me a good education. I know I got my plate full. I got to see what direction I'm going to go in.
Okay.
I thought he was smarter than that.
as you have time and desire, then I'll help you. I'll give you the background of who and where and why. Because at least twice a year, you have to go to a meeting with the health department and others, and there's some phone calls that have to be made. But I think there's some projects we need to get done. So normally it's just the meeting with the government stuff, but I think there's actually some stuff that needs to be done, and I don't have the time necessarily to do it, like the Half Moon and the water filling station and that kind of stuff. So I appreciate your offer, and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Anything else before we close the meeting?
Yes. I have something. I'm Don Ray.
Hang on just
a second.
I
have
Don. Go ahead, Don.
I didn't hear anything on the equipment, and I did have the information on the Kubota for the brake locking up. Do you want me to just give that to Joe, or do you want to?
Yeah, Joe's handling maintenance and working on the equipment. It's probably best if you can get that to Joe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, all right.
All right, go ahead.
I was just wondering about that motorhome right at the beginning of the spring. Is there anything we can do about
this? It was supposed to disappear a couple of nights ago, but the guy that was going to take it looked at it and said there was only like two lug nuts, or it would have been gone. He just didn't feel like dragging it off in the middle of the night and losing the wheel and literally dragging it off. Yeah. It belongs to, it was on a property that Arnold Longley sold to Leland. Leland Pipeline. I looked at Kathy and Leland popped in my head. Sorry. Yeah, no, Linden. And my understanding was Linden was trying to get rid of it and took it from his property over to the gravel pit. I saw it there and thought, what in the heck? Who's camping here or abandoned? And then some, I don't know, the board? Who talked to
him? I talked to Phil, and I think Phil talked to Linden.
Someone stole it and took it from the gravel pit.
There was a sign by Barry to talk to Linden to get it out of there.
So he took it from the gravel pit back to the county road entrance to Juniper Hills, and that's where I thought, I didn't know he was wanting to get rid of it, or I would have had it hauled off long, long time ago, but either with my big tilt deck trailer or Christian Church is working for me, his tilt deck trailer, we're going to haul it in. He had a tow truck, tow device, that we towed one of the pieces of equipment to the ranch, and he's going to tow it in that night. And when it was still there the next day, I said, hey, what's the deal? And he said, it was the middle of the night, and I'd only had two lug nuts, and I didn't dare make it halfway to town, so we'll get it going here shortly. Would you want to bring it up to your place?
Okay. Anything else from members? Anybody on the phone have any other comments before we end this marathon? All right. Before anybody says anything, then we'll plan on a meeting in December on the, we just said the 14th. Yes.
So we're going to take this month and put our stuff together. We're going to set a week before that on teleconference for putting
the management stuff. We're going to handle that by email. Send it to me, whatever your suggestions is. And once I have them, we'll either have a telephone conference or get together or exchange. Somehow we'll communicate, because I'm hoping at the next meeting that we have the information to actually review something and approve it. I don't want to wait until the next meeting to just discuss it, because we need to make a decision.
We need to kind of go through this list and anything else that's not on this list and say this should be included in the management position, or excluded. This should be controlled by the board or by...
Well, and we'll have to evaluate all that kind of stuff and just try to determine what fits. And it's gonna be different depending on who ends up in that role too. Okay. Well, thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Make sure you don't let the door hang on the butt on the way out.